All right, we're hitting on the next part. Last week we talked about saying no to the old walk. Today we're saying yes to the new walk. So the notes are coming out now. We're in Ephesians again. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 to 24, and I'll read that while they're passing the notes out. And then it's in your notes as well. And then I'll pray, and then we'll get started. Ephesians 4, 20 through 24. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Let's pray. Lord, help us as we study to learn, to grow, to change because of the truth of your word. Lord, the world screams out lies. It screams out things that are against you, that are in defiance of you, and that's what we many times are overwhelmed with during our day, whether it's the radio, the television, any kind of media, or even the people we're around, because they walk in darkness. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to just to learn this truth and to be able to live it out. Lord, we know that the salvation is free from the Lord Jesus Christ, but we know that discipleship is not something that comes automatically or easily. And we pray, Lord, that you would just help us to become fully committed followers of the Lord Jesus as we study your word. And may this day help us to do that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I have four main points, and then we're going to kind of give you a highlight yesterday. Whoa, we should have some kind of like drum music or something here. Hey, Bear. It's good to see you, man. Welcome. Does Bear got notes? You look like you work at Hy-Vee or something. I saw a guy walking home today as we were heading to church, and we were driving toward Hy-Vee, and he's got black pants and white shirt, and I'm like, got it. So, anyway, walk the walk. Say yes to the new walk. There's four main points here, and then we're going to flip the page over and highlight what Ephesians says about walking. It's very good information. But we're looking at just these four verses in Ephesians. Number one, we need to listen and learn. Listen and learn. Discipleship involves listening and learning. Okay, let me just read this. Verses 20 and 21. You might want to underline these words or whatever as you hit them, but the idea of learning and hearing, we need to take the Word of God, we need to listen to the Word of God and learn it and put it to practice. The Bible says this, but you have not so learned Christ. It's a carryover from last week. We're the wrong way, the way we used to be. We don't live that way any longer. When you come to know Jesus Christ and you learn about Him, you understand that you're not to live the old way. You have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard Him, there's listen, and have been taught by Him, there's learn, as the truth is in Jesus. We need to learn the truth. That comes by listening, just as you are right now, and learning the truth. Listening and learning the truth. As much as other things, there are other things that we enjoy. I enjoy good music. I enjoy drama. I'm very dramatic. My kids think I am anyway. I'll follow that rabbit trail for a minute. We're doing I call it a static drama on Wednesdays. something we just kind of made up. Probably other people have done it, but we're taking pictures of the kids as they act out different scenes from Matthew 26, 27, and 28. It's Jesus' last days, the crucifixion, and the resurrection. Okay, so we're about halfway through chapter 26. It got too dark on this Wednesday to do much, so we're going to have to kind of reinvent the wheel a little bit. But Michael Meyer, a.k.a. Bear, was here a couple Wednesday nights ago, and I thought I'd incorporate him. Even though he's not a kid, he's very kidly. And so there was the scene where Pilate, that would be Guy, was giving a choice between Jesus, that's Lemuel, is playing the part of Jesus, and Barabbas. So we thought, who would be a better person to play Barabbas rather than Bear-rabbas? So he was Bear-rabbas there. So we dressed him up, and he definitely looked the part. So that's, he's speaking in that. So anyway, listening and learning. Everything that we say and do here, it points you in that direction. We need to hear the truth. And by the way, if you're like me and need to hear the truth over and over because you forget it, it fades from your mind. It's, I don't know why that is. Maybe it's the imperfection of a sinful brain or something. But just because I hear it and know it doesn't mean that it stays there forever. I need to hear it over and over. But also learning it. We've been taught by Him. We need to put it to practice. You've learned Christ. You understand that what the Bible teaches, what Jesus teaches, is different than what the world proclaims and what the world practices. So that changes our direction. A couple things that are involved, and again, it depends on how you grew up, how you were taught, but in some churches, you're saved and then everything's okay, everything's fine. And what we talk about is salvation. Salvation is when every one of us is born a sinner. We're sinners by the way we act. We're sinners by the what we like to do. Jesus has saved us from that. He died on the cross. He took the penalty for our sin. And because if we believe on Jesus as our Savior, the Bible says we're passed from death unto life. We are saved. Okay, so salvation is in that sense that, and it's complete and it's done. There's nothing that you can do to earn salvation. There's nothing you can do to lose that salvation. Because salvation doesn't come by what you do. It comes only by what Jesus has done, and He's done it completely. Okay, you don't have to get baptized to be saved. You don't have to give money to the church to be saved. You don't have to join a church. On the same token, salvation not only involves being saved, and we call that a birth. Jesus called it being born again. You're born again into the family of God. But in the same way a birth happens, when you have a birth happen in your family or in someone you know, you don't expect that child to stay an infant. There's an expectation. I enjoy Elizabeth, you know, has her little Charlotte, her little princess, she calls her, and she'll post on Facebook every now and then. And Charlotte turned 5 months old recently, you know, and all these different things that she's doing. She stands up being held, or she's when she first smiled at people and all of this. That's an expectation. There's an expectation of growing and changing from a baby, an infant, to adulthood, okay? There's a process of growing up. In the same way, salvation expects that too. Salvation brings us a new birth, but in salvation is also what's known as sanctification. It's a growing and changing that comes from being born again. There's that expectation of growing. It doesn't happen automatically. It takes nourishment, it takes hearing, it takes changing, it takes choosing to change. Okay, you can hear stuff all of your life. How many here? Now, I heard some folks here went to a diabetic conference. Okay, it's all about lifestyle, right? I don't know what all, I can't tell you, but my dad's been through that somewhat too. And it's all about lifestyle. It's like stuff that at times, and not always, but at times there's stuff that you've known all your life that if you weren't careful, something would happen. You know, and sometimes it's unavoidable. Okay, it's just part of life. One of the frustrating things of my growing older is the slow impeding of my senses. particularly my hearing and my seeing. I just know it's kind of fading slowly but surely. You know, it's like I'm glad I'm this old, because I don't know, my eyes near as it last me another 50 or something. It's just that way. But it's just the result of life, okay? But there's changes, and I haven't been to any of these conference sessions, but every one of them is asking you to make a change, I'm guessing. Exercise, diet, or whatever. And it's like, I'm not so sure, but I've heard all about exercise and diet since about the day I was born, I think, It's like, and I like reading about exercise. I think it's very, and I like reading about changes in the diet. It's just very comforting. I used to joke with people, there's some video or something out, it's called Six Pack Abs. I don't own the video. I've never seen the video, but I remember seeing this. I used to joke and say, yeah, it's done me to go good. I've sat here all day. I've gone through 3 bags of chips watching this thing, and a case of pop, and I'm no different. It's like, well, no, that kind of misses the point. An exercise video is not to watch. It's not a form of entertainment. It's a form of exercise, theoretically. But salvation, in the same way, involves behavior to be learned and lived. Okay, salvation isn't just, hey, I'm saved, and now I'm a spiritual infant, and now I'll just be whatever I want to be. That it has nothing to do with that. You would never leave a child to be an infant just to be by themselves. And even I have children in my family. Susanna turns 18 the end of this month. She's nearing the precipice. And but still, there's times I don't give her much guidance anymore. She's pretty smart and wise. But there's times I'll give her guidance, and there's times she'll ask me for guidance. Even at 18 and all the rest down there, I'm always giving guidance to somebody, as far as, because that's what they need. But there's a progression there as they get older. They need that change. There's a process that God built into being a kid and becoming an adult, that there's a process so you're not out on your own. Isn't that good? I mean, that's the natural process. Some kids grow up as orphans or whatever, but the natural process, the God-designed process, is someone's helping you to become an adult ultimately, so that you can be, I don't know, maybe the wrong word is on your own, but so that you can be responsible as an adult, be that mature person. And this, that same thing is true in the spiritual life. God wants you to become a spiritual adult. And that's what this whole series has been, that spiritual maturity idea, the discipleship. So God wants you to listen and to learn, and that salvation is more than just a new birth, it's new behavior as well. And that comes through the process of learning. Now, number two, it's put off the old man. Put off the old man. Now, some people call their fathers old man. I've never done that. I've never liked that phrase. We're not talking about that, okay? We're talking about the old you, the sinful you. When you're saved, you still have that old man, that old nature as part of you. It's part of you. There's nothing that it will not leave or change until Jesus gives you a glorified body. It's somehow connected to your sinful body. Your old passions are connected to that body. And the Bible says, the King James says, who shall change our vile body to be like unto his glorious body? In Philippians 1:21, your body is infected with sin, and you have that old nature that pulls you toward there. Remember that negative bent? It's part of that, and that won't go away. You can't extricate the sinful bent from you. You can only put it off. Okay? You can only put it away, but it's there all the time. All right? Until God gives you that glorified body. Put off the old man. Notice verse 22 says that you put off concerning your former conduct. That's what it's talking about. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That old man is part of you. That old drive is still part of you. You're supposed to put off that conduct. There will still be urges. There will still be desires. And you, God wants you. God has enabled you to be able to choose to do right. Okay? Through the Holy Spirit that lives within you, that, and your new nature that we'll talk about just in a minute, you have victory over that. You have been given victory over that. The issue then is you choosing to do that. You're to put off the old man. You're to decide, I will not do the old conduct. I have not so learned Christ. Christ says we're not to live in by the vanity of our mind, as we talked about last week. We're supposed to live according to the truth and light that God gives. So put off the old man. Notice here subpoints that are filled in for you, but make the choice to leave the former conduct. And by the way, that's a choice that you make, but probably a choice that you have to make regularly. It's a walk of faithful obedience to God. You can decide today, I'm not going to live in my old conduct. I'm not going to walk in my former ways. I'm not going to live by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life, which are not of the Father, but of the world. Okay? And that's the choice that you will continue to need to make. Make the choice to leave the former conduct. You can choose it today, but you'll have to choose it tomorrow. You have to choose it tomorrow afternoon. You have to choose it this afternoon. It's a constant choice, but until you decide that, every choice is up for grabs. But you say, I've set my face toward following God. Remember Daniel. In Daniel chapter 1, he purposed in his heart. The Bible says he would not defile himself. Okay? That's it. He made up his mind. He still had to choose when that critical time came, but he had already made up his mind beforehand, so then he's just being consistent in choosing no. Okay? So put off that former conduct. Make the choice to leave the former conduct. And then notice here, it says, recognize the badness of the old man. It says here, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. This is a good thing to get your mind around. It's pretty profound. But if we live by our old lusts, obviously it's wrong. It leads us in the wrong direction. It's like walking in darkness, just like people that have no light. It injures, it destroys, it kills spiritually and sometimes even physically. But also here, it says that this old man inside of you, not only does it not just stay in one place, it gets worse over time. Have you noticed in life that the sinful nature grows worse? That's what the Bible says here. It grows corrupt. It grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Why is that? Maybe because the more you grow, the more you know. The older you are, the more you see and have seen. I mean, the sinful nature seems to grow more aggressive, more intense. Okay? So it becomes worse. You're tempted worse now in different ways than you were as a child because you weren't even exposed to those things. Okay? So the old man grows corrupt. It's bad. It's worse. And you want to just stay away from it. You do not want the old nature, the old conduct, the old motivations, the old passions running your life because it will just consume you with these deceitful, corrupt lusts. It grows corrupt. So put off the old man. You don't want anything to do with the old nature. It's there. It's like a bad shadow that follows you. But you do not have to yield to it or allow it to run your life. So put off the old man that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. It grows more corrupt, okay? Number 3, renew your mind. Okay, renew your mind. The Bible says here in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Notice I have two subpoints. We'll go to a couple passages here in a sec. But you have to put good things in. You cannot renew your mind without putting something new into it. Okay? And you also have to replace the old things. You know, we're selling our house. And, oh, thank you. That, I must look needy. We're selling our old house. One of the things we did was the linoleum in the kitchen was getting old. We had put it in years ago. Okay? We put the subflooring in and we glued the linoleum down. But after a while, it starts getting tore and cut. Linoleum kind of does that. Pull the refrigerator out to clean behind it, and then you push it back and realize it had chewed a chunk out or things like that. And it just needed replaced. Well, what we had to do is we had to replace it with something new. Okay? There's no way to make that linoleum okay. It was not good. It needed to be replaced. So we replaced it with like that interlocking laminate flooring kind of thing. You have to renew it. You have to replace it. You can't just polish up something that's bad, that's no good anymore. Okay? And you have bad things. The Bible says you have those deceitful, vain lusts, those mind and the thoughts that are against God. You have to put different things in, new things in. Let's look at two passages that you're probably very, very familiar with. But one of my favorites is Psalm 1. Psalm 1 in the Old Testament. Most of you could probably quote it. Psalm chapter 1. It says this: "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." Notice you're taking away. You get that? Walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You're not listening. You're not being exposed to. You're not being immersed in the counsel of the ungodly. That can come in the form of any kind of media, television, TV, or whatever. Books, music, anything you can think of, or even just bad company. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." We won't get into that, but there's a progression there. Walks, stands, sits, okay? But what's the opposite? Not those things. I'm not going to go where they go. I'm not going to do what they do. I'm not going to listen to what they talk about, be exposed to the untruths that are there and even the all the different types of media and all that. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night." Now let me ask you this. How many people do you think delight in the law of the Lord and meditate in it day and night? Even though that is clearly what the Bible instructs us to do. How many people rather get caught up in walking in the counsel of the ungodly? The books they read, the shows they watch, the music they listen to, the friends they have, expose them in a completely different way. Notice the result. Why would you not want this? "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." The ungodly, which seems to be anyone who doesn't delight in the law of the Lord, it seems they do, are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." The idea, we need to say no to bad influences, and we need to say yes to the Word of God. Okay? Now that doesn't mean you're walking around reading the Bible all day, every day. And in fact, it's kind of dangerous to do so when you're driving. Though I drove by somebody the other day, you know, it's illegal to text, and I see all kinds of people still texting while they're driving, which just scares me to death. And then, but there's someone driving along, and they have this paper, and they're reading this It was, you know, a written, handwritten, and I'm like, I suppose, you know, if you're not looking at the road, that's probably just as dangerous, okay? But the idea is you're to meditate, memorize, ponder upon, and that should be your focus. That's how you learn the ways of God. Turn over to Romans 12. You're familiar with this passage, no doubt, too. Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. Paul says this. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So every part of your body is to be God's, to do with whatever He will. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. By the way, the word service is a word, it's not the word that we've been talking about in Sunday school ministry, it's a word for worship. Some Bibles translate it, worship. It's like the service that the Levites did in the temple. Okay? It's latreia, if you're familiar with, if you're interested in what the word is. But reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Bible seems to indicate if we are not renewing our minds, we are being conformed to this world. Does that make sense? There's no other way. We become like what we are around. Okay, so if we're not putting the truth of God, the light of God, the purity of God into our minds, then we just become like what we're around because we know no different. And yes, we do go with the flow whether we realize it or not. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do you come to know what God wants you to do in behavior, in conduct, in thought? By being in the Word of God. It's the transforming work of the Word of God. So we need to be in the Word of God. Psalm 119:111 says, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It shows us life. It illuminates what is true and not true, okay? So renew your mind. You have to put in good things. You have to replace the old things. There's an old computer term that's this, all right? Anyone? It's a programming term, actually. G-I-G-O? Yeah. Garbage in. Oops, sorry. Got to be smart enough to do this. Garbage out. What you put in is what comes out. In a spiritual sense, you are what you eat. Fair to say that? You are what you eat. In a physical sense, they say that too. You are what you eat, so I must be 50% pizza or something. I know. I eat more than just pizza. But garbage in, garbage out. Good in, good out. Right? You cannot expect something different if you don't change the input. Some people have said it this way. You cannot continue to do the same things and expect a different result. Does that make sense? I keep falling off, tripping over this spot in my sidewalk. Every time I walk and trip over it, well, what have you done to change that? Okay, you can't keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. Well, I have problems in this area in my life. Well, what are you doing with the input? How have you changed to create a different result? Okay? God has given us the Word of God, the life-changing Word of God that will change us. Okay? But it takes that step of whatever to make the change. Renew your mind. It starts in your mind. Everything you do begins in your mind. Jesus said that. He said that turn over to Matthew 15. He's talking to the scribes and Pharisees. And they're mad at him because the disciples didn't wash their hands. And think of it as a ceremonious type of washing of the hands. Okay? Like I just got marker on my hands because I use my hands to erase the marker. He's not talking about dirty hands. He's talking about like a ceremonious washing here. Notice here, verse 1 of Matthew 15. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Why are you breaking our rules? Why are your followers breaking our rules? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." Okay? And so Jesus doesn't even answer his question, their question. He asked them another question. He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition?" Okay? He says, your very rules, your church rules, actually violate what God says. Okay? And then it goes on. He says, "For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death." Okay, the idea of God demands respect for your parents kind of idea. "But you say, whoever says to your father and mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, that then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." And you're saying, what's this got to do with honoring your father and mother? It's saying, you might have your income, right? And you're saying, well, that's dedicated to God, so I cannot care for my parents in their old age and their need. That's what they're saying. And so you say, if you say it's dedicated, even though you have it in your bank account, and you say, I've dedicated it to God, I can't touch it, it's God's. I can't care for my parents. It says you're completely flipping God, what God said upside down, because God would not have you do that. But that was a tradition. That's how their red tape to get out of what God expected them to do, to care for their parents in their old age. Okay? Now notice he says here, if you jump down a little bit, he says the issue was not washing your hands before you eat bread. Verse 10, "When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Now what goes into the mouth defiles a man, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles the man. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" Jesus wasn't about making friends necessarily. "And he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. If the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch." Verse 17 now. "Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated?" That's the digestive tract. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." He says it's not the problem of whether your hands are washed or not that makes you an evil person. It's your heart on the inside, and that's where you need to direct your attention. You have to address that evil heart, and you have to take care of what you put into that, because whatever goes into your heart is going to come out of it, spiritually speaking. You have to address the heart. I'm going to read a passage out of Proverbs. This is Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 27. Just listen to this. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." That's what you put in. "For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence," the Bible says. It's not casual, it's combat. "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." And then he goes on to say, this is what you don't do, this is what you take away. "Put away from you a deceitful mouth, put perverse lips far from you." It wipes out most of the television anymore. "Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. You develop routines. Be careful what you start because it'll turn into a habit. Develop good habits. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Things. If you're in an evil spot, get out of there. Okay? The Bible says to renew your mind, and it's not an empty thing. Stay away from places that influence you in a wrong way. Stay away from entertainments that influence you the wrong way. Put good in place of that. Get good friendships. Get good books. Get good videos to watch. Get good music to listen to. And most of all, be in the Word of God. Because you cannot replace the Word of God with any of those other things. The Bible doesn't tell you to meditate in movies day and night. It doesn't tell you to meditate in books day and night. It doesn't tell you to meditate in video games, even if they're Christian video games, which is almost an oxymoron to me. But all of those things, it doesn't say, it says to meditate in the Word of God day and night. Okay? Have good things to put in, replace the old things. Number four, you put off the old man. Number four is put on the new man. Okay? You have to take away the one, the put off the old, and then you have to choose to put on the new. Verse 24, and this is built on renewing your mind, by the way. It's impossible to put on the new man without renewing your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Another way to say it is, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, this is exactly the way God created you to be in the first place. It's created according to God. This is in the likeness of God as God intended you to be in the first place. Even in the Garden of Eden, man was created in the image of God, exactly. God wants you to be like Him. He made you that way. That's the way you best function even. Okay? Created according to God. And notice, it goes on to define it or describe it a little more. In true righteousness and holiness. God is righteous. God is holy. So what God wants us to do is to pursue what is right and what is holy. And that goes against the corrupt lusts of the flesh. Okay? That you put on the new man. It's choosing to do right. Righteousness is action, ultimately. You think right, you do right. It's performing righteous actions. And holiness is also fleshed out in what you do. It's not doing what is evil or unholy. It's doing what is pure or good. God is holy. He says in 1 Peter, be holy for I am holy, he says. So put on the new man. Again, it's a choice to do what God wants us to do. Okay, we have to choose to do that, and it's a pursuit. Paul told Timothy, flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness and holiness. Okay? So put on the new man. Now, how does the new man look? Another way to look at it, flip your notes over here, and I'm just going to list these. All the passages are there. I'll just write them briefly here. The book of Ephesians uses the word walk multiple times, okay? And we just looked at it here. I'll give you the Greek word first because it makes sense. It does it. So it's the word peri. And then pateo, it's all one word, I'm just breaking them out. Pateo means to walk, okay? Peri, what's peri mean? What's perimeter? What's a perimeter in math terms? Perimeter is the measurement around something, so it's a perimeter. A periscope lets you scope around, okay? So peri is just around. So you're walking around. It's while you're walking around is the idea. Okay? It's the intent of your lifestyle. I think another word that's used in the old King James is conversation. It's not what we use today. I think the new term is conduct. But the idea, those are both true. Walking, it's what you look like when you're walking around. Okay? So you got those? So let me just give you, I'll erase these, well, I'll leave that there. Number one, the Bible says in Ephesians we're to walk, or walk around, if you will, in good works. We're supposed to do good actions, do good things. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship. We are God's craft, if you will, God's creators, created in Christ Jesus. Notice this, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're to walk in good works. God created us to walk in good works. God saved us to serve is another way to say that. Kind of overlapping with our Sunday school there. God also tells us to walk worthy of our calling. Walk worthy of our calling. Ephesians 4:1, Paul says this, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I beg you to walk worthy of the calling to which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Walking worthy of the calling. God has called you to be in His family. And He says, walk worthy of that. Live up to that. And how do you do that? It's lowliness and gentleness. It's like humility, gentleness, long-suffering, putting up with people. Do people get on your nerves? The Bible assumes that they will. That's why long-suffering is needed, okay? Long-suffering is part of a Christian virtue. And He says, that's walking worthy. You put up with people because that's what God would have you to do. Long-suffering, see, I have a slow fuse, okay? Macrothumia, it's a slow burning rather than a flash. You know, it's the difference between a firecracker and a... When we used to be able to have fireworks in Iowa, you used to get a punk. Remember the punk? It looked like a sparkler, but you lit it and it would just be a slow burning thing. That's what you're supposed to be, not a... Okay? Macrothumia. Long-suffering. Bearing with one another in love. Okay? It's a toleration, but ultimately it's a loving. You're caring for them, even though you might not like what they do or it doesn't appeal to them. What they do doesn't appeal. That's part of Christian virtue. Think of God in us. Put yourself in God's place for a minute and then look at you from God's vantage point and say, boy, I'm glad God is long-suffering. I'm glad God bears with me in love. Notice here, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. God wants us to do what we can to stay together. There's plenty of things to break apart over, right? God says no. The oneness of the Spirit. That's what it means to walk worthy of your calling. Number three, we're to walk in love. Okay, another way to say it almost. Ephesians 5, 1-4, therefore be imitators of God. As dear children, we're supposed to be just like God. We're supposed to be godly, godlike. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. We're supposed to sacrificially love as Christ loved us. That's what God calls us to do. But notice here, fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you. Not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. There's a lifestyle that's appropriate for believers, and it doesn't involve fornication, uncleanness, or covetousness. And by the way, those are all against other people. Those are ways to hurt other people. Those are sins that injure other people. Let it not even be named among you as is fitting, not even once, not even one time. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting. Notice there's things again that are fitting and not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. That's what should replace that lifestyle. So that's the walk of love. You're doing things that care for people rather than defraud people. You do things that lift up rather than tear down. That's walking in love. Number four. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. Ephesians 5:5-12. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. And it gives the idea we're not even supposed to talk about people doing bad. Right? But we're to walk as children of light. What does it mean to walk as a child of light? We were once children of darkness, and we reflected that. We didn't know what we were doing. We walked around and lived like we didn't know the truth because we didn't. But now we're children of light. We should live as we have the light in knowing the truth. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. We know what is approved of God. We know what is disapproved of God. We are to walk in that way. We were sometimes darkness. Now are we light. Walk as children of light. Walk with the answers because you know the truth. Walk in the truth. Walk with using the truth, okay? That's the idea. The next one here and the last one we're going to talk about today, some of you are probably familiar with this one too, is walk carefully and wisely. Walk carefully and wisely. Ephesians 5:15-17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It says walk circumspectly. What does circumspectly mean? It's almost this right here. Well, it's almost the periscope thing. But circum is Latin for peri, or round. And spect is that scope. It's the kind of this same thing. But it's circumspect, looking around. You're carefully looking around. That's what it means. Walk carefully. You look around. You don't just walk without looking. Okay, you don't just walk without paying attention. You walk carefully. Why? Because the devil walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Why? Because there are temptations of the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, which will seek to draw you, to deceive you into doing what's wrong, what's anti-God. So we want to walk carefully. And notice it says, not as fools. John MacArthur says it this way. There's another word for fool that rhymes with Cupid. Starts with an S. Yeah. Not as fools, and that's kind of the word, but as wise. Walk wisely, not stupidly. Okay? Walk with intelligence of the Word of God before you. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. God wants you to be careful. He wants you to walk carefully because life can destroy you. The wickedness of your heart, the world, the flesh, and the devil, your three enemies, you know, the outside, the devil, and your own flesh can destroy you. And you have to be careful. So all of those things go together. Walk in good works. Walk worthy of your calling. Walk in love. Walk as children of light. Walk carefully and wisely. The Bible has a lot to say about walking, and it tells us how to do it. So how must we walk? We don't walk as if we don't know any differently. We walk because we have the truth of God. The truth sets you free only if you use the truth. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your truth. Help us to be those disciples that are mature and growing and are not encumbered by the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. And we pray, Lord, that we would have an otherworldly walk. And that our walk would reflect our knowing You in every way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.